First Samuel, read with me in chapter number 16. Let's look at 1 through 13. Chapter 16, verses 1 through 13. Those of you that were traveling, we're glad to have y'all back. We had a great day Sunday and just thankful for his blessings. Chapter 16, verse number 1. And the Lord said unto Samuel, how long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from the reigning over Israel? Fill thine horn with oil and go. I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons. And Samuel said, how can I go? If Saul hear it, he will kill me. And the Lord said, take a heifer with thee, and say, I am come to sacrifice to the Lord. And call Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show thee what thou shalt do. Thou shalt anoint unto me him whom I name unto thee. And Samuel did that which the Lord spoke, and came to Bethlehem, and the elders of the town trembled at his coming, and said, comest thou peacefully? And he said, peacefully I come to sacrifice unto the Lord. Sanctify yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice. And he sanctified Jesse and his sons and called them to the sacrifice. And it came to pass when they were come that he looked on Eliab and said, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. And the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord sees not as man sees. For man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. Then Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel and said, neither has the Lord chosen this. And then Jesse made Shammah to pass. He said, neither has the Lord chosen him. And Jesse made 7 of his sons to pass before Samuel. And Samuel said unto Jesse, the Lord has not chosen thee. And Samuel said unto Jesse, are here all thy children? He said, there remaineth yet the youngest, and behold, he keeps the sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, send and fetch him, for he will not sit down till he come hither. Let's stop right there. Let's pray as we look at David getting chosen by God this evening. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the reading of the Word of God. We thank you, Lord, for these that have come out on this Wednesday night. We thank you, Lord, for each of them making their way here. Those that are watching, we pray that you'll help them and bless them. Just have your way tonight. For it's in Jesus' name I pray these things. Amen. In the book of Acts, chapter 13, verse 22, says this, and when he had removed him, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. God wants everybody to be a person after his own heart. That's a title that's given only to David, but it's something we all should strive for. Now, let me give you a little background. Thousands of years ago, God chose a young man named David to be king of Israel. And we're going to see, out of all the sons that were paraded in front of Samuel, he chose David, the youngest son. And you'll notice the wording there in the verse we read in verse 11. He said, there remaineth the youngest. Didn't really call him his son. But we see that David would become the greatest king to ever exist for the nation of Israel. He had a lot of issues. He had a lot of things. And we'll see that as we go through. But during his life, he received great promises and remarkable blessings. Now, I want to look at this as we go through the next several, probably take us on into September. Y'all with me tonight? All right, thank you, Shirley. David wasn't perfect, not at all, and we'll see that. One thing when you do character studies, we saw it in the life of Moses. He wasn't perfect. And that shows us, because we're not perfect. I'm sorry, I hate to break it to you. There's not one person in this room that's perfect. There's a few of you that were close. I mean, that close. And some of us are way, way far away. But David made a whole lot of mistakes, and we'll see that. But first, before we go into that, as we go through the next weeks, I want to look at how God chooses. This chapter opens with God reminding Samuel that he rejected Saul. Saul was chosen. If you remember, up to the point before Saul, there was no king. And the people kept saying, "We want a king, we want a king, we want a king." So they got a king. And they were very happy with Saul for a while. Saul was chosen to be their king by how he looked, by what he looked like, his specimen. He was a big man, but he was a spiritual pygmy. While we have giant men in our people, we know, but Saul was jealous. Saul was very jealous. Saul was about Saul. He tended to always overstep his boundary. So as a result of Saul's rebellion, God chooses a new king to rule over Israel, and a very unlikely candidate. The first thing I want you to see with me this evening is God's choices are sovereign. God's choices are sovereign. His choice involves sovereign providence. In this situation we're in, there's rebellion, there's rejection, and God begins the process of choosing a new king. His choices are not just sovereign providence, but they're sovereign planning. God told David, or told Samuel specifically, "Here's what I want you to do. I want you to go to the house of Jesse. That's where I'll choose my king." So he had all this in mind. God knew exactly what he was doing. He knew exactly what was going on. Now, something very interesting about David. Most of y'all know this. One of David's ancestors was a woman named Rahab. We find her in the book of Joshua. She would marry a man named Salmon, S-A-L-M-O-N, Matthew 1:5. She became the mother of Boaz. Ruth 4:20, Boaz married a Gentile girl named Ruth. Boaz and Ruth became the great grandparents of a boy named David. You see that? The harlot Rahab. We studied the book of Ruth. We know Ruth was a Moabitess. She came out of the washpot, a place where God pretty much just said he didn't want to have anything to do with. And here comes Ruth. So we see the line of David is an interesting line, so to speak. But his choice involves sovereign power. In verse 1, he says, God said, look at verse 1 again. He said, "The Lord said unto Samuel, how long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I've rejected him from reigning for Israel? I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided for me a king." Three times God said, "I have done it." Sunday morning we talked about God's will. God shows us the direction he wants us to go. God shows us that direction. So sovereign planning, sovereign providence, sovereign power. He said, "I have." What lessons can we learn from this sovereign choice? First of all, there are no accidents. There are no accidents in life. Everything occurs for a particular reason. Listen to what Isaiah 55, 8 and 9. I read them often. "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Psalm 37:23, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way." That's a verse we ought to live by. The steps of a good man. What does that mean, preacher? There's none righteous, no, not one. That verse is telling us the steps of somebody that's a believer in Jesus Christ are ordered by God. He will show us. He will lead us. He will direct us. We also see God's sovereign choices extend to everyday life. There is no way in the world that I don't even know half of everything. I definitely don't know everything. Now, there are some people that y'all know it all. You ever met somebody that just knows it all? I don't know how they know it all. I mean, there are people that know a lot. I'm not one of them. Thank you, Caleb, for the grin and the head shake over there to my right. But if we're honest, there's not any of us that know it all. There's not any of us that know it all. We can't know it all. God's sovereign choices extend to everyday life. Some people are bothered by the notion that God has to be in absolute control of our lives. I preached that Sunday morning. That bothers some people. He's not going to be in control of my life, and you'll never have any victory in your life. God knows what's best. God knows when he tells us to go right and we go left. Why did he do that? Why did he do that? Why can't I just say go right and Kevin Weaver goes right? Well, because he made me. He knows me better than anybody. Y'all hearing me tonight? God's sovereign choices extend to everyday life. Number two, God's choices are surprising. Now, the context here, Samuel is in Bethlehem to anoint the new king. Samuel arrives there. He commands Jesse to gather all of his sons together for a meeting, I guess you could say. His choice is surprising in the rejections. I want you to see and put this in your mind. As I picture Samuel sitting maybe in the, if they had a parlor in those days, I don't know. Just work with me. Just go with my mindset this evening. Y'all laugh. It's okay. Y'all have gone with it for over 2 years. So y'all know. You never know where I'm going. I said Job had a back porch. Do we know if he didn't? I'm not as crazy as y'all think. Picture with me sitting in the parlor of Jesse's house. And Samuel says, all right, bring your sons out. Bring them out one by one. And they only name a few. The first one's Eliab, E-L-I-A-B. His name means God is father. This guy was a physical specimen. I mean, he looked the part. He looked right. But God says, no, I've refused him. That means I've rejected him. Then Eliab, E-L-I-A-B, might have looked outwardly, but that didn't matter. Abinadab, his name means my father is noble, but he too was past. And then the next fella, Shema, his name means astonishment. This may refer to the size. Maybe he was just a big man, and they went one after another, and as they walked in front, one after another, Saul said, no, or Samuel said, no, not this one, not this one, not this one. You see, you go to some churches, and you see the guy behind the pulpit. I mean, he's got the look. I ain't one of them. Our buddy down in Dallas, Georgia, he's got the look. He's got the hair. He talks like a preacher should talk. He wears the three-piece suits with a little pocket thing. What is it called? Pocket thing. What's it called, Morgan? Pocket square. He wears, got all, he just looks the part. But I know him. I know him. And he is a bona fide, certified, one of the best preachers you'll ever hear, but he looks that part. Then you come into Middle Cross, and here I am. Halftime, my jacket's hanging over there on the chair, tie's loosened up. Don't look on the outside. Look on the inside. I know Johnny's heart. Johnny's heart is to serve God. But there's so many pastors in our area that have the sound. I see them all the time at the funeral home. They'll come in and they'll change everything that the family has put together for their service. And I'm thinking, what gives you the right to march in here and change what the family has already done? When I do a service, what do y'all want me to do? What do y'all want me to do? But there's pastors all over the area that look the part. There's singers that look the part. I was talking one time to Mike Holcomb of the Inspiration, sung with him for years, bass singer. We had him at our last church. He's an evangelist, a good guy. And he left Inspirations after being with him for 40 plus years. I said, why did you leave? He said, because there's too many people singing gospel music that are fake and that aren't even saved. And some of them are even openly homosexual. He said, I couldn't stand it any longer. He said, so just because they're up there in a suit and tie, y'all hearing me tonight? Just because they're up there in a suit and tie don't necessarily mean they know what they're preaching about or singing about. We see his choice is surprising in the requirements. God tells Samuel, don't look on the physical attributes. God looks at the character of a man's heart. Before Saul ever ceased being king, God already determined to raise somebody up. This is what we need to do as a church, not look on the outside. We see this over and over again. When we look for leaders, When we look for leaders, I was discounted at churches years ago before I got older because I was too young. I didn't have any experience. I'd say, well, how can I get experience if you won't give me the opportunity? So we have to be careful. We have to be careful because God looks at us. He sees the inside. So many churches and Christians and pastors are worried about what we look on the outside. What about the inside? His choice is surprising in his receptions. Now, we've paraded all of these sons in front of Samuel, one after another. I bet Samuel's thinking, am I at the right place? And he said, Jesse, you got any more sons? And Jesse said, well, there's the youngest. They didn't call him his son. The youngest out there tending his sheep. Notice what it says there in that verse. And Samuel said unto Jesse, are you here any more children? He said, there remaineth yet the youngest, and behold, he keeps the sheep. Samuel said unto Jesse, send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he come hither. Verse 12, and he sent and brought him in. He was ruddy and withal of a beautiful countenance and goodly to look to. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David that day forward. And Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. Think for just a second what happened here. We've paraded all of these guys. You got anybody else? And in walks David, 15, 16, 17. Been out in the field with sheep. So think about the smell, the sweat. But when he walked in that screen door coming that off that back porch, Samuel said, that's him. You know why he said that? Because God said, that's him. That's him. He had a beautiful countenance. There was something different about David. There was something different that brought his eyes to him. And Samuel was to anoint him. Again, we got to be careful how we assess people, how we look at people. Would anybody have ever thought early on in the book of Acts that God was going to take Saul of Tarsus, save him, and then him being the first missionary, basically, the starter of churches all in that region, and the writer of half the New Testament? Really? Who would have thought that? God did. Who would have thought 31 years ago that old redneck from Soddy Daisy that was a C in English, I'm going to call you to preach. What? What? And I did say this, and I'm not being disrespectful never in my life, but I did say, God, have you lost your mind? Why would anybody want to listen to me? Y'all probably think the same thing. I don't know if you, but I thought, are you crazy? Why? Why would anybody want to do this? Why would anybody have thought Saul of Tarsus would do what he would do? We looked at Peter a few weeks ago. How could Peter, the very one that rejected Christ, be the one to preach Pentecost? How? Because God put his hand on him. I couldn't be a pastor and treat it as a vocation. There's a lot that do. They treat it as a paycheck. Y'all don't pay me to preach and pastor. Y'all pay me to live. Y'all pay me so I can pay my bills. Y'all don't pay me to preach and pastor. I do that because it's a call. It's something that I am called to do, to stand there with people that have lost somebody precious to them. To stand there when people are sobbing at the altar, rededicating their life to the Lord. To stand there and do all of these things. It's not something that you could do and just clock in and clock out every day. It's a call. Y'all hearing me tonight? It's a call. God's choices, number three, are specific. Very specific. It was crystal clear that this is what God had in mind. Crystal clear. You see, God chooses those who are ready. Something you need to notice is in verse 11, when Jesse said, yeah, he's out there tending the sheep, God chose somebody who was already working. I'm going to pick on preachers because I can. There's a lot of preachers in this country that are sitting on their hands waiting on that church to call. Get up, go down to the homeless ministry and preach. I did. Go to the senior citizens, go to the nursing homes and preach. I did. Find you an old hound dog and preach. I did. I get tired of preachers. Wait, oh, well, I'm in between churches. What does that mean? You know what we did every time we've left the church? If we left on a Sunday morning, Sunday night, my family was in church. You know the old term, grow where you're planted? That was instilled in my mind as a young man, to grow where you're planted. When I left Melville, I went back to Sequoia. We went back. Kids were small. We got involved. And David walked up to me and he said, that Will and Worker Sunday school class is yours. You start next Sunday. I had 20 senior citizens that I preached to every single week. And I loved it. The harder I preached, the better they liked it, Sue. And it was great. And I loved it. That was my congregation, Philip. I was growing where I was planted. I went for 4 years and hardly didn't even get any calls to go preach anywhere else. But I got to preach. I got to teach. But there's so many Christians, just Christians in general, just sitting on their hands. I'm waiting on God to tell me something. You know what? You can get up and do something. God don't have to tell you to go work, do His will. God don't have to do that. God's choices are specific. He chooses those who are ready. Well, this is a good one, Daryl. He chooses those who are reliable. He found David out there in the field working. If you got a job in the church, be reliable. Be reliable. Be there. Be ready. Because David was out there tending his flock. And you know what he did after Samuel anointed him with oil? He went back out to the field. Why? Because that was his job. That was what he was supposed to do. That was where he was supposed to be. Jesse looked at David. He saw just a young son. His brother saw just a young brat. But God saw a man of integrity. God saw somebody he could use. God saw somebody that he could use for his glory. And then finally we see God chooses those who are redeemed. When Samuel anointed David, perhaps God's plan was whispered in his ear. I don't know. We don't know all that happened, but we know that David knew God. David knew about God. David was just not somebody he called off the street, because everything I've read, he wrote Psalm 23 early in his shepherd days. He was a shepherd, writing about being a shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. And we see that he was redeemed. He was redeemed. David had been walking with the Lord for quite some time. He was serving God. I hear a lot. Well, I'll start serving at a church as a youth pastor or whatever when I start getting paid. I told a guy today, I said, for the first 15 years of my ministry, I never got a dime. I did it because I wanted to. I did it because I liked it. I did it because I wanted to serve God. I didn't do it for money. That's the problem we have in our society, in our churches. Oh, yeah, we'll I'm going here. I'm going to go here, and then I'm going to move on. We'll clock in at work on time. We'll drag into church late. Y'all hearing me? You said, we're here on a Wednesday night, preacher. Quit beating us up. Well, there may be some watching that are dragging their feet. Sunday morning, I hope to see all of you in here. Pick your feet up, get to church. You say, you don't know what's going on in my life. You don't know what's going on in our life. Kathy's mom decided to fall in the middle of the floor today. She went to the hospital. Busted head, she's okay. But everybody's got problems. The one place you ought to be, I'm going here. The one place you ought to be is church. I'm going to sit at home because nobody likes me. Maybe because you're mad and miserable and ugly to everybody. You know why you're that way? Because you're not in church. Y'all hearing me? Alice, you with me? I love you, Alice. Thank you. I was waiting on that. But the one place we ought to be when we're hurting, when we're troubled, when we have problems, is church. Hearing the word of God, hearing the singing, being around people that have been through what you're going through. Staying at home is giving victory to the devil. That's good preaching. That is good preaching. I don't care what you say. God is still looking for people that he can use for his glory. God is still looking for people that will be dependable. God is still looking for people that will be reliable. God is still looking for people that will put themselves aside, their feelings, their anger, their grudges. And so you know what? My pastor used to always say, Kevin, God's work's up here. Our feelings, put them aside. Our thoughts, put them aside. You're going to get hurt in the ministry. Lord, I could raise every hand and arm I had how many times I've been hurt in the ministry. Yeah, pastors get hurt too. Pastors get your feelings hurt too, but you know what we do? We brush it off like a duck and keep waddling for the Lord. Are y'all hearing me tonight? That's good preaching. Waddling for the Lord. That's a message coming real soon. Keep waddling for the Lord. We're going to hurt. We're going to get mad. We're going to get upset. Our family's going to be just, family's just going to be family. We're going to have health issues. We're going to have problems. We're going to have financial problems. But we need Jesus every single hour. I preach tonight and I like it too. I like it when I preach like this. Some of y'all just shaking your head. Some of y'all just saying, but we need Jesus. When you're hurting, we need Jesus. When you're happy, we need Jesus. Lord willing, if I get things finished up, we're going to start looking at the out of the book of Galatians. Lord willing, Sunday, and it's a big sermon, Brianna. Maybe they get picnic lunch. I may need to split it up. I'm not even finished with it yet. But listen to me. Be dependable. Be dependable. If you're watching and you're not here, be dependable. Be reliable. Don't let the devil defeat you because you stubbed your toe. Don't let the devil defeat you. Be reliable and serve God. Why? Because you want to. Serve the Lord with gladness. Let me ask you to bow your heads all over God's house tonight. I don't know what you're dealing with. I don't know what you're going through. But God does. God knows exactly what you're going through. And Lord willing, I'm going to probably preach on the first three fruit. The fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, and peace. And do the rest next week. We'll see how it plays out. But be reliable to God. God needs to know he can count on you. God needs to know he can count on you to be there. To be there in the ditch. To be there in the clutch. To be there when the chips fall. To be there when things aren't exactly like you think they ought to be. God wants you to be dependable and realize and understand that we need to depend on him and him alone. I love you, Lord. We come to you this evening. Lord, we thank you for the word of God. We thank you for David. What a life he led, and we're going to see as we go through over the next several months of how you used him greatly. We're going to see he made mistakes. We're going to see all of these things. But help us, Lord, to be a church that's dependable to you, that you know you can count on us. We thank you, Lord, for being so good to us, for watching over us like you do. Be with us now as we go into this time of prayer. In Jesus' name I pray these things. Amen. All right. Let's mention some prayer requests. Daryl slid out there leaving early in the morning. Him and his family going on vacation. So you'll be praying for Sunday service. Morgan will be leading the music. So you'll be praying for the music and be praying for each other. Leslie, I don't know if you saw on Facebook, she is back to the doctor, or the emergency room actually. She's really having a hard time. She's lost like 15 pounds and since her surgery, and she don't have it to lose. So I want you to pray for her. She's really struggling.